What was the DNC thinking having a former president overshadow their vice presidential pick? We'll talk about that today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so night three of the Democrat National Convention, you'd think Barack Obama was being nominated for vice president because that's the only person the mainstream media wanted to talk about after that 2 hours if you watch cable news, if you watch CNN or MSNBC. 1 hour if you saw it on broadcast, which means you did not see the pro-women suffrage. They're so proud of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi that they made sure no one saw them when it was in prime time, by the way. They made sure you didn't see them if you were watching on your broadcast television. You didn't see the suffragettes and the Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi because why? Their popularity ratings aren't so high for nationally. But the big news and takeaway was not that this was the first African-American woman nominated to be vice president. That's a big deal news-wise. The big news takeaway for the mainstream media was that Barack Obama spoke.
Yeah, they couldn't get off
someone who's not on the ballot. And, Dad, we were both watching CNN, and we flipped to MSNBC, and literally they kept saying, we'll get to Harris. We'll get to Harris in a minute. It's historic that you did it. But, oh, Obama. Oh, they love Obama.
They said it was Barack Obama's night. So, I mean, be clear here. I mean, their statement was this was Barack Obama's night, except it was the nomination of the first Africa. Well, actually, she's both South Asian and Black.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
It's a very historic moment with Kamala Harris. And
it was her
everybody wanted to talk about, or the media certainly wanted to talk about, Barack Obama's speech.
Right, someone we all know about
which
already.
Was a professorial lecture about why he doesn't
agree
with the president.
We've heard a thousand times.
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is, this was supposed to introduce Kamala Harris. Who on earth thought it would be a good idea? It's like, if you were the next Republican nominee, would you want Donald Trump speaking right before you? He would get all the media attention. Okay? So, like it or not, think it was good for eyeballs or not, no one would be talking about what you had to say. Now, the interesting thing was, unfortunately for Kamala Harris, whoever wrote her speech, and I'll tell you, Kamala Harris is better than what you saw last night. I said it in my tweets. I don't agree with her on about anything at all politically, but she's a much more, like, real opponent. I mean, she's a much better speaker. She was the California Attorney General.
We've been in the same Senate room with her.
She's tough. She's strong. She delivered a weak speech that I couldn't even figure out what the theme was. Some of it was because everybody kept thinking about Obama the whole time.
Well, it was that and the weird set. It was this vacant-looking, almost airplane hangar-looking empty building
dark,
and then a couple of seats where there were some people there, but not that many. And I don't think it served her well. And then, of course, the media could not get off of the fact that Barack Obama had spoken. He was harsh to the president. By the way, it was harsh to the president, but if you want my honest opinion, do I think it was like a knockout? It wasn't even like a... It was nothing.
I'm not surprised he's being harsh to the president. He's got a lot of... former administration officials are under investigation by a U.S. attorney. So no wonder Barack Obama doesn't like President Trump right now. And consider we found out that he was in on the hoax. And that so was the nominee for president, Joe Biden, and Sally Yates, all those people. So I think it was Obama fighting back on a legacy of failed policies like getting the Nobel Peace Prize for the Iran nuclear deal, and Iran continued on with their nuclear program. Then we had ISIS. And of course, no mention of the fact that, you know, we don't have a serious president, is what Obama said. Yet, in the midst of all of this, he brokered the Abraham Accords, a peace deal between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, and a working relationship historically in just the last week. Obama did the Iran deal, which nuclearized Iran. I mean, think about it, folks. Just think about it. And think about, do you remember anything about Kamala Harris other than the fact she said, I accept the nomination? We'll take your calls. We want your thoughts. Is it another botched night from the DNC? 1-800-684-3110. And what does that leave for Joe Biden? How big are the stakes for him? Or is anyone watching at all? 1-800-684-3110. We definitely were, because we wanted to see what the media thought of it. They just loved talking about Obama again. They didn't care what he said. They just loved the fact that he was speaking again. 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So you use night three of your convention to really introduce the American people. Now, this is different. It's virtual. I think a lot of Americans aren't even watching this. But for those who do and are still trying to figure out who to vote for, it's important. Even if it's, because if it's, the election is as close as some of the polls say, I mean, you're influencing people. And I think the VP choice for Biden is very important because he's coming in at 78 years old. You need to believe.
And another reason.
That this is someone who could run the country.
Yeah, there's a second reason. This was actually covered, interestingly, was actually brought up on CNN. And that is that Biden is polling worse in the African-American communities and the Latino communities than Hillary Clinton did. So the hope was that they were going to have this, you know, with Kamala Harris, that somehow would bridge that gap. Although during the campaign, she did not do particularly well within that community either.
No, because she put more black people behind jail in California right. than anybody else. She was a prosecutor before California Attorney General. She was very tough on like the small drug offenses and putting people in jail. But so, I think what's important is this is what the takeaway for us was. And we were up till about 2 in the morning talking, my dad and I. Post this after watching all of it. Then you can go through each one, Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren.
Our team put it together.
But the truth is, the media, you know, that's who the American people kind of take it from next. So the speech ends. What does the media think of the speech? Because this is her kind of introduction to most people. Most people, a lot of people watching, unless it was only being watched by people who already follow politics, you in the norm, they don't know who this VP person is. Okay, so that's the first time they've really heard her give a long speech. And even people who follow politics, you might never ever heard her give a 30-minute speech. So what did the media talk about right after Kamala Harris finished her accepted speech for the nomination for vice president for the Democrat Party? Take a listen. There's a supercut of all these media outlets.
Obama's speech shook me because of his despair laid bare.
This may have been the most powerful address he ever gave.
I got the feels, man.
That is an uncommon Barack Obama right there.
I could see him in the Oval Office. It was intimate and it was chilling, and he was declaring a national emergency.
Let's get right to the unprecedented performance by Barack Obama.
President Obama's speech tonight slayed me.
I just think that this Obama speech, it was one for the ages, and it let everybody else kind of go out and do what they have to do to tell the Biden story. But I think it's something we'll be talking about for a really long time.
The speech that Obama has given throughout all the speeches I've read or watched,
that absolutely did feel like the most of a warning. Mm-hmm. And I think it was warning about the potential end of America.
The guy who went to Philadelphia tonight did not go there as a partisan, did not go there as a Democrat. He went there as a person who loves the country, who loves this democracy.
Former President Obama took a message to Philadelphia, the place of our founding, the founding of a democracy.
This was President Obama saying, I sat in that office and I want you to listen to me because I'm warning you.
His warnings that we could potentially be at the end of American democracy scared me and I found upsetting and hard to watch. But it's powerful, powerful stuff.
That was immediately following Kamala Harris ending her speech.
That's okay? What's so
That's
unbelievable.
That's what they started talking about. They didn't say Kamala Harris, great job, or analyze that. Because they didn't have time between Obama. Remember, it went right from Obama to Kamala Harris. They went right to, skipped right over Kamala Harris, who will actually be on the ballot, to someone who won't be on the ballot, and they're crying tears over.
So we calculated at one point, other than a few minutes of mentions here and there, and I'm talking about a
the
few minutes of
mentions. The mentions where we're going to eventually talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it was. We're, in the next half hour, we're going to talk to it. That it took, I think, 90 minutes to them to get any substance, after the speeches were done, to get to any substantive review of actually what was said. So I want to get, I'm going to give my comments in a moment, but I want to get Than and Andy's first. Andy, I'll start with you. You watched the whole show last night from beginning to end. What was your takeaway?
This was Obama at his slickest community organizer way. He got up there and he talked about the democracy is at stake and the president is horrible and he didn't grow into the office. But the most important thing was he talked about getting votes and not suppressing votes and getting the people out, and democracy has got to win, and you've got to keep your lives and your property and the people that you love, and don't skew the economy for the wealthy and the well-connected and the health system, and don't fall through the cracks, and the democracy will wither and there'll be no democracy at all. This is just the community organizer standing at a hall in Chicago, back before he even became a state senator, making his mark on America, supposedly, by just saying how terrible and horrible things are, and of course, ignoring entirely the tremendous accomplishments of the last 4 years yep. after the nightmare of Donald Trump, of Barack Obama's administration, and failing to recognize and to say what he should have said, that his Justice Department administration was the most corrupt right. in the history of the United States. How about that?
Yeah, that would, well, yeah, exactly. And then, Than, I thought it was interesting. Barely a mention on foreign policy. Never really talk about the accomplishments. Of course, they're not going to talk about the accomplishments of the president. But it was all Barack Obama and nothing on Kamala Harris, which almost leads me to believe that they are going through the motions of this, even though they think they've got some good poll numbers, which now CNN saying they're not so good. What was your takeaway?
Well, going through the motions was the strategy that Hillary Clinton picked, and we saw how that worked out. So if they're going to choose that strategy again, they might want to think twice. Jay, two main takeaways, and they do track somewhat similar to what you had. Number one, I knew this was a strategic mistake as soon as I saw that the former president and Kamala Harris were going to go back to back, because look, the former president is good at this. He's a gifted orator. And then maybe most importantly, and it was evidenced by the supercut that you just played, the media loves him. So no matter what he said, they were going to do that, and it was going to detract from Kamala Harris. But Jay, I would add a second reason to this. And you talked about how the pick of Kamala Harris was important because of Joe Biden's age and because of the African-American vote. I would add a third reason to that. And Jay, that is borne out in the polling that the nominee for president of the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, doesn't bring enthusiasm. So they have to get enthusiasm out of their vice presidential nominee, Kamala Harris. By putting Barack Obama right up next to her and letting him take all the attention, Jay, they eviscerated any chance of that happening. They are going to have to get enthusiasm somewhere. And I think Jordan probably said it best. You're not going to get the enthusiasm from someone who is not only not on the ticket, but won't ever be on the ticket again. He's yesterday's news. They're going to have to find enthusiasm somewhere. And I think they sabotage themselves in that way.
Yeah, I tell you the thing I'm trying to figure out, Jordan. You've been around, you've done presidential campaigns. And I'm trying to figure out why did they, I mean, I understand why they wanted to pull Barack Obama into this, you know, the former president.
Right.
You know, and normally they do that. But why would you buttress it exactly as they buttressed it towards Kamala Harris, and then knowing that the media was going to do exactly what they did. Because they were leaking out, which is normal, portions of what he was going to say. Which, by the way, I didn't think was so, you know, they said, oh, it's going to be the hardest, strongest, toughest.
That's about
it. It was a professorial lecture. It was another Obama professorial lecture.
I'm right, you're wrong. Yep. Lecture like people don't like for professors. But, you know, the liberals love it because they love liberal professors. No, I think they should have had Barack Obama on night one, or, you know, flip-flop with Michelle Obama, maybe. She goes first, or maybe she goes second. She's about the only person that can follow him. Yeah. So I think it should have been first night, should have been the Obama night for them. And that would have gotten a lot of eyes. So you would have started off the convention instead of losing 26% of viewership, probably up, because you would have seen Barack Obama for the first time back out really campaigning and hitting hard. He didn't endorse Joe Biden in the primary. Until Joe Biden won the primary, Barack Obama did not endorse him.
That's right.
In fact, Barack Obama was reported not to support Joe Biden's decision to run and is very concerned that Joe Biden does not have what it takes to campaign. This has been reported by the New York Times.
Yeah.
So the fact that he even came out, I would have done Barack Obama and then Michelle Obama on night one because she could follow him. And then that would have got a lot of viewers. But give Kamala Harris a shot. It should have been a great intro. It was a great intro video. But then it was a weird set that looked like a convention stage. The lights were dark, and then it came up on her. Except that works when you have 20,000 cheering people and balloons and stuff and confetti. It doesn't work when you're by yourself, except for, I guess, Joe Biden was in a box in the corner somewhere. He didn't come out at some point.
And then they were like holding. It was so bizarre. They held their hands up. Hey, when we come back from the break.
It's just for the Hollywood world. I guess they're so quarantined because of COVID. Who's doing like stage management for this? They should be the best at it, right?
Well, their settings have not been good. I mean, hers was terrible. Look, Jordan and I have been with her. We've been in a small room. She's a formidable presence.
An opponent.
Yeah. A worthy opponent.
And why Elizabeth Warren, I love how, so Jill Biden, Elizabeth Warren, they get to be in classrooms. Your kids don't. You know, remember, we're fighting on all those cases. They're talking from classrooms while classrooms across the country are closed because of liberal governors and mayors. Think about that. And they're not providing vouchers for kids who need some education or tutors and things shutting down charter schools, virtual programs.
I want to do this when we get back from the break. And I'm going to start it with Andy first, because I really want to. None of the foreign policy. They didn't even question the foreign policies of the president, really.
Because they've been perfect.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting miss. So we'll talk about that. Also, don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. If you enjoy this program each and every day, radio and TV, support the work of the ACLJ and the Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
You know, I think that this is what was interesting to me. First of all, Kamala Harris being overshadowed. Now, this is a big night coming up tonight. This is the night where, you know what's interesting too, how they kind of passed over abortion.
Of course. There was barely a mention. They had one reference
she did
to
it,
Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of just brought us, we reminded people, you know, during on Twitter and our social media that Kamala Harris proudly defended that California law, Dad, that we ended up going down at the Supreme Court that prevented crisis pro-life pregnancy centers from operating, or the FACT Act.
Yeah.
And she defended that.
I know she did.
So not only is she extremely pro-abortion, she wanted to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers and make it their work criminal. Defended it in California as AG, but ultimately it was struck down by the Supreme Court of the United States. They don't like to highlight that part, so they didn't really get into abortion heavy. That wasn't abortion heavy. Even with Elizabeth Warren, even with Hillary Clinton, even with Pelosi, they kind of gloss over that, which is interesting to me. And I just asked this question to our callers. What, if you watched Kamala Harris, what do you take away from it?
Well, that
Chris Wallace said something, I think it's fair, Dad. He said most VP speeches, right after you hear them, usually what you take away from it is, I'm proud to accept the nomination. And you, by the second night, you move on to the candidate. But usually, if you had just watched it, something would have stuck out to you.
So this was, I think, I have to deal with, and you do too, and Andy and Than do too. You have to deal with communicating messages and bites something oftentimes. Of course, we're a little bit spoiled because we do it on radio and TV every day.
Yeah.
But also, you're doing arguments in the courts.
Things like that.
Andy was just in court on a proceeding, and you got to leave something on the table that the judge is thinking about or the jury's thinking about. And Andy, I look at this last night about Kamala Harris's speech, and we've been with her in the Senate. She's a formidable person. It did not come across that way last night.
No, it did not. And she came across very bland, in my view. The thing that I resent about her so much is a former prosecutor who now disdains what she did as a prosecutor. And there's nothing that a prosecutor dislikes more than a person who was an attorney general, a district attorney, a prosecutor, and who went after criminals and did the things that they're supposed to do in upholding the law, years later deciding that they're going to basically reject what they were and deny what they were. She said before the speech that they had played a clip of her saying, and, you know, we need to do something because I've got three bolts on my door. Don't forget that. So she disdains what she used to be and now is a new Kamala Harris. She is now Joe Biden's running mate, and she's looking for a different country from the one that she defended as an attorney general. I don't buy that. I think that is being untrue to yourself and untrue to your principles, and that's how she came out to me.
You know, this was interesting, too. Foreign policy.
They didn't even discuss it.
Well, they tried to, right? Because I think this is how they tried to, Obama tried to take a shot at President Trump. Not by directly saying like foreign policy, but take a listen to Byte 23.
For close to 4 years now, he has shown no interest in putting in the work, no interest in finding common ground, no interest in using the awesome power of his office to help anyone but himself and his friends, no interest in treating the presidency as anything but one more reality show that he can use to get the attention he craves.
The economy was going wildly well for everyone until COVID, and has still done pretty well considering. Okay, that's one. So the economy that from Obama to even Trump right now, I mean, you can't even compare the two. So that's why he didn't mention anything specific. He just doesn't like the style. How about Omar al-Baghdadi is dead? ISIS is no longer in existence. How about the fact that he had the guts to take out Iran's top military and terrorist commander Omar Soleimani? How about the fact that Syria is no longer a major issue? How about the fact that Israel and the UAE made a peace deal last week while Obama was getting awards, Nobel Peace Prizes?
For being elected,
while we still had two wars ongoing, Afghanistan and Iraq, and a horrible fake nuclear Iran deal? How about getting Pastor Andrew Brunson out of Turkey? How about dealing with all these tough, like China? How about redoing NAFTA for the American worker? Did Barack Obama, I guess he's just been playing golf the last 4 years? Because the truth is, even though his cronies have tried to distract everyone from what President Trump has done with all the hoaxes, all the stuff we've had to work on as his lawyers, the truth is, President Trump has delivered, and his administration has delivered, whether it's the economy, whether it's foreign policy, and he's drawing us down from those wars.
Okay, so here's the deal. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, you could be an independent.
Don't be a liar.
But tell me, Than Bennett, who's been involved in politics for a long time, what was the purpose of last night? I mean, Wolf Blitzer, who I happen to like Wolf Blitzer. I get along great with Wolf Blitzer. I get along with most of the ones up on those networks. I'm thinking to myself, Obama gave a professor's lecture. That's what he does. That's all it was last night. Nothing in there was some shocking new revelation. And, of course, it's all going on while his various intelligence officials may be in hot water. But having said all of that, what was the purpose? What was the takeaway from all of this?
I think the purpose was the theme that they were going for, Jay, which was we would like Barack Obama to be president again. I really do. I mean, I think that was what they were going for because that's what they think fires up their base. But again, if you go back to Political Science 101, if you're not on the ticket, you will not deliver victory. It's going to be the name at the top of the ticket that is going to determine how the American people vote. And, you know, you guys were talking about foreign policy just a moment ago. And the reason they didn't go to this, Jay, is because there's not a lasting legacy achievement left from the Obama administration when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, that was supposed to be the Iran deal, the JCPOA, and Jordan ran through a whole list of others. I might tack a couple others onto there. You remember the Obama administration are the ones that walked away from Israel at the Security Council. How did that work out? They were the ones that advanced the open borders policy that led to all sorts of problems. And by the way, Jay, if this pandemic hasn't showed why that was a bad foreign policy, then nothing will. So I got to tell you, Jay, that was why they didn't go to foreign policy, because there's not a single lasting legacy foreign policy achievement that they can run on. So the only thing left was to run away from it and say, we do still wish he was president.
I want to play this last bite here before we go to the break on number 23.
For 8 years, Joe was the last one in the room whenever I faced a big decision. He made me a better president, and he's got the character and the experience to make us a better country.
Andy, wouldn't you like to know what happened in the last person in the room, let's say, on intelligence gathering or spying on the Trump campaign or the IRS targeting of conservative groups? I'd like to kind of know.
He was the last person in the room, all right. He was pulled back with Sally Yates in the room, and they talked about things that Sally Yates says she was astounded to hear. He was the hatchet man for Obama, let's face it. Remember Obama said, make sure you get the right person? The right person to do what? The right person to slaughter Donald Trump if you possibly can. He didn't talk about that last person interview in the Oval Office. He didn't talk about those events. But you know what they do, Jay? It's an old Southern way. If you have the facts, plead the facts. If you got the law, plead the law. If you got neither, make them cry. And that's exactly what Obama's trying to do. Get up there and make us cry about the lost great days of Barack Obama. Well, guess what? He's not coming back. And I say thank the Lord for that.
Yeah, and a lot of people, by the way, have been, you know, criminal justice reform. I bet they're thanking the Lord for that, too. For what President Trump has done. It's not Obama and people like Harris who just kept putting him behind bars, ignoring a lot of these racial issues, even though they were supposed to be the champions of it because it was historic that they happened to be nominated. Remember that. Support our work. Matching Challenge, ACLJ.org. We've been involved in every one of these battles, folks. We'll be...
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. You know, it's interesting because when I wrote The Next Red Wave, it came out, you know, about a year ago, we didn't know there'd be a pandemic. We didn't know who the nominee would be. But we made sure, because we knew who was running. So we talked about Biden a lot right there, that Biden's a lot in here. But Kamala Harris is also in here because of what she did with the pro-life pregnancy centers. But there's also something in here that our next caller mentioned, and that is Jerry in Rhode Island online too. If you want to talk to us on air, by the way, we're taking your calls, folks. I know there's a lot to analyze here, but we are taking your calls. And I want your thoughts. Did you watch it? And if you did, what was your takeaway? 1-800-684-3110. If you're a Democrat or Republican, or you haven't even made up your mind, I just would like to know, because it's tough to figure out for me, because the media, they just fawned over Obama. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
How you doing, team? Comment to what was just said last segment. Last man in the room, then how come the president didn't endorse his candidate until he was the last candidate right in the room?
Exactly.
But to answer your question, going back to the book, 40% already voted, they didn't watch. I watched Hannity, so I didn't watch, but I saw soundbites. So I didn't hear some of the things until I heard it today, or I've watched it on my pop-up phone. But in regards to the book, 40% already know what they're doing.
Yeah.
As the base. 40% never Trumpers, they probably watched.
Yeah.
The 20% in the middle that we've been talking about, all these speakers are grasping, to my opinion, grasping for a segment. Some of the segment is, poor Hillary lost, she got cheated. She talked to that people. Some of the President Obama, too, who still love him, he talked to them. They're trying to grasp for that 20% in the middle. That's my opinion. It's what I said when the book came out last year.
Yeah, no, I think he's absolutely right. We talk about this. In politics, especially at the presidential level, so it's not so local, you've got very partisan voters. They show up to vote. So I think you're about right. You know, 40-ish percent on each side already knows how they're going to vote. Once you have the nominees, we do now. You know, it's not no more primaries. They know how they're going to vote. It's the 20%. And, Dad, for me, the only thing I'm taking away, and I get what Jerry's trying to say, is that they're trying to appeal with this kind of dull message, broad, yeah, blah, don't you want something different maybe, but not so different, and we're not going to really bring up divisive issues, even though there's a lot of divisive issues going on right now. It is that anybody but Trump. Now, I worked on 2004, talking about the next red wave, and we're talking about the book again because I think it's really relevant to right now because, you know, we're living in the two and a half months before the election, 3 months, is that the anybody but
never worked
strategy doesn't work. John Kerry, when he was running against George W. Bush, so I worked for the Bush campaign, he actually sold the bumper sticker from his campaign, anybody but Bush.
Yeah.
And he came close in polls. But ultimately, with the Electoral College, and I will tell you, on Election Day, we were nervous at the Bush campaign. There was two unpopular wars going on. There's economic trouble. I mean, there were a lot of reasons not to get reelected, honestly. But John Kerry wasn't running. No one was voting for John Kerry because they liked John Kerry or his policy proposals. Their whole campaign was anybody but Bush. And guess who won? Bush. Guess who lost? The guy selling the anybody but Bush stickers. That's the only theme I can take away so far. And if Joe Biden sticks with that tonight, like, hey, you're not really voting for me, you're voting against Donald Trump, the 20% just don't show up. That middle vote, especially during COVID, they just are not going to show up because they're not
right.
going to be
it. No.
And then a lot of minority voters are not going to be came out and drove for Obama.
And Biden's polling less minority votes than
any other Republican
ever
before. He does.
He's gotten the best polling numbers with minorities for any Republican, better than Bush got. But anyways,
way better.
We come back, we've got a lot more. Andy, I'm going to give you, I need this in 15 seconds. Why the ignoring of, at least challenging the foreign policy decisions?
Because there's no way you can. Remember, the President of the United States finally had the guts to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and recognized Israel as what it is. They didn't talk about that because it was an accomplishment Obama did not have.
100% correct. All right, folks, listen, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org, Winter Matching Challenge Campaign, aclj.org, if you're able. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And a lot of people calling in right now, so we get those calls up. I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because, Than, the big idea is, what is your goal for a convention? Your goal for a convention is to convince people. It's not your own supporters already. You want to fire them up. Okay, so you want to fire your base up. That's one. But you also want to bring in some new people, including some new people who voted for the other guy last time. And yet all I'm hearing so far, the only theme, and I mean, I watch this stuff closely, is that the only big takeaway that I can get is that we just don't like Donald Trump because he's Donald Trump. It's not really his policies. They can't really attack the economy. They can't really blame him for COVID. They can't really say anything bad about his foreign policy. So the Russia thing was nothing. They didn't want to talk about that. And so it's that anybody but. I mean, maybe Biden has a different, kind of theme tonight. I'm not talking about what they say the theme is, but his speech. But I think this all comes down, Than, to me, is can Joe Biden, as you said in the chat that we have, convince people that he's best on the economy and the violence in the streets that's happening right now? And yet we've got all these videos of him praising the violence in the streets, and he's been horrible on the economy as a U.S. senator.
Yeah, Jordan, that is what I would add on top of the line that the strategy of anybody but the other guy never works. The candidate with the eyeballs wins. But Jordan, the other thing is, and everybody who's been involved in politics knows this, is that people vote their pocketbooks. And Jordan, I have yet to see a poll when people are asked who they trust more to handle economic issues and the economy, especially in light of the pandemic, where people have chosen Joe Biden. Time and time again, they say that they trust Donald Trump more on that issue. So I think those people in the middle, and by the way, Jordan, I look at the electoral map, Joe Biden's going to have to take back at least two states from Donald Trump, even if he takes the biggest ones in play, in order to take the presidency back. Without winning on the economy, you're not going to do that. And I'll tell you this, Jordan, I would make a second prediction. I think the economy will be number one coming out of exit polls, but I think number two will be safety for families. I think it will be the violence that is in the streets. And if you're going to take a look at voters that are going to vote on those two issues, I don't see any of them voting for Joe Biden over Donald Trump.
I think, look, if you look at the fact that there's got to be a rebuild of the economy because of the pandemic, Donald Trump's already done that once, right, Andy? He's done that. And then if you're looking at safety, what's going on in our communities, I think it's pretty clear to anybody that's watching that you make
happening in Democrat cities.
Where's it taking place? And you know where it's taking place, Andy?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the economy, as Stan said, and I agree totally, you ultimately vote your pocketbook. And Joe Biden has said, if you vote for me, you're going to vote for higher taxes. He already said that. So don't think you're going to vote for a tax cut. If you're going to get me, you're going to get higher taxes. He's already said that. And the other thing that I think is interesting is how they have scrupulously avoided the issue of foreign policy. And we've talked about that in our prior segment. They don't want to talk about what has happened internationally because that is all victories for the president, and they can't go back to that. So they drag out Barack Obama, they drag out this professorial image, and they try to rekindle what happened during the great heyday of the Obama administration, overshadowing their own vice presidential nominee. And look, when you think about the speech that Obama gave, how long of that did he talk about Joe Biden? Maybe 5 minutes? His brother Joe Biden, who he didn't endorse, as our caller said earlier. I mean, is this the party that you want to put back in power? Is this the party that's going to get Portland back from being the disaster that it is, or Chicago or New York, where Fifth Avenue is blocked up and there's posters and plywood put up on all the buildings? Is this the party that's going to rekindle America? I don't think so.
You know, it's interesting because we also see the traditional attacks on Republicans and conservatives. This happens whether you're Bush. They've gone hard on Trump on this. That's weird because Trump is supported by a lot of social conservatives. He's been great on the life issue. He's been great on religious liberty. But he himself is not like claiming to be some evangelical social conservative. Personally, he just agrees with us on the issues. And I think that's what's most important in a leader. There's a lot of weak. You know, you could have like...
Oh, we've had a lot of presidents that said they agreed with this and never put it into practice.
No, because they weren't ready for the battles that come with it. They're very nasty battles.
Even moving to, you know, Andy mentioned earlier, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I mean, I think they had the authority to do it for 25 years and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so I mean, Republicans, but they always love to call us homophobic and kind of xenophobic and this and that. And the truth is, Donald Trump, of all people... And by the way, he got all those evangelical voters, but he also got all these libertarian voters, and we're all working together now, is the least probably homophobic president. I say this in history because Barack Obama opposed gay marriage. So did Joe Biden. Donald Trump supported it. And, I want to hear, because this is how they try to call us. Here's Kamala Harris doing it in a soft way. And I'll play AOC doing it the night before in the more outright way.
Yeah, and then we're going to hear from our friend Rick
Grenell.
Yeah, but
just so, because this is just the same junk they always want to throw at you.
And to a vision passed on through generations of Americans, one that Joe Biden shares, a vision of our nation as a beloved community where all are welcome, no matter what we look like, no matter where we come from or who we love. A country where we may not agree on every detail, but we are united by the fundamental belief that every human being is of infinite worth, deserving of compassion, dignity, and respect.
Yeah, of course, I don't include the unborn in that, number one.
Not her, right? Especially.
Not her. But I wanted to make a point before you play the AOC statement.
Yeah, that was a soft version.
Was a very soft reference to that issue. But you saw more of the Kamala Harris orator in that than you did in the others.
Yeah, I think we're playing more Kamala Harris than CNN has already.
100%. I mean, with the amount of time we have versus the four-hour blocks.
If they actually paying attention to what she's saying, you might disagree.
Right.
But it's very strong statements. They're more subtle, and that's what she's good at, unlike Joe Biden, who kind of...
So then AOC, of course, does the regular attack.
But where was it in there? I just want to point it out to people. It was in there when she said it doesn't matter who people love.
Right.
Right? Like we somehow care about that. And then AOC the night before was much more direct about it. Remember, they were all pre-recorded. The AOC was pre-recorded. They let her say it. Take a listen, because they're calling you this.
A movement striving to recognize and repair the wounds of racial injustice, colonization, misogyny, and homophobia, and to propose and build reimagined systems of immigration and foreign policy that turn away from the violence and xenophobia of our past.
So basically, AOC calls, you know, Republicans and conservatives homophobic. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump appoints to a G7 country, Rick Grenell, who's been on this broadcast before, a conservative. He's gay. He also served as, in addition to being the director of, in addition to being the ambassador to Germany, when Andrew Brunson was released from prison in Turkey and finally got out of Turkish airspace and landed in Germany at 2:30 in the morning, who met him at the airport with an American flag? Ambassador Rick Grenell, who then is appointed. So he was appointed by President Donald Trump. Then Rick Grenell becomes the acting director of national intelligence, and he has the guts and the timidity to unleash and unmask the unmaskers, so to speak, to find out what was going on.
It's in a cabinet-level position, too.
Cabinet-level position. So the idea that these people would call Republicans, conservatives, homophobic is so absurd.
How many people
we were very involved in Rick Grenell's confirmation process. If he was on the broadcast, he would tell you.
The Democrats wanted to shut him down.
Yes, of course. He was. You know why? Because he's conservative. Because
he's a conservative. It doesn't fit their mold.
Right.
And you know, the truth is, Donald Trump runs hotels, all this hospitality. He doesn't care. He's not hiring and firing people based on their sexual orientation. I've never heard anyone accuse him of that, except for, of course, Democrats try to make people think that. But you know, let's play. You know, usually we wouldn't be playing Log Cabin Republicans videos on here. But you know what? I'm sick of being called a homophobe, aren't you? I am. Rick Grenell's sick of you being called one, too. He knows you aren't. He's an evangelical Christian. He's gay. And President Trump didn't care about that. And you know what? I don't think any of you do either. You might personally have disagreements theologically, but if he was the right person for the job, take a listen to Rick Grenell responding for us. And that's what I think is great here. Because I'm just sick and tired of being called homophobic. It's just, it's a gross attack. It's nasty. Listen to Rick Grenell.
My name is Rick Grenell. I'm America's first openly gay cabinet member. The fact that I'm gay didn't even faze Donald Trump. Joe Biden certainly didn't congratulate the appointment or even acknowledge it. But his silence was deafening.
There you go.
So, first openly gay cabinet official was put there by Donald Trump. And you heard from his own words, he didn't even care. He was the ambassador to Germany. It was a cabinet position. Barack Obama didn't put anybody on his cabinet who was gay. I don't even know if, you know, I don't, but he certainly no one at that level. He had no one at that level, and he opposed gay marriage for half of his presidency. Only switched when it was politically important. I'm sick of being called that. I'm just sick of being called that. I thank Rick Grenell for doing that video. Thank the Log Cabin Republicans, too, for doing that video, because it's speaking for all of us. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So it's interesting. Janice on Facebook, she wrote, Rick Grinnell's brilliant. Any job he's given, I agree.
And I hope in the next administration he's given even more. Although the ambassador to Germany and the acting DNI.
Disgusting how the Democrats were opposing him. You know, they're opposing him because he's a conservative evangelical. He happens to be gay. But you see, they don't care. They'll try to take down
it's such
people
hypocrisy.
Who are gay taking on major leadership positions because they have a theology and a political view different than theirs.
It's the same thing with Clarence Thomas.
He's
conservative.
Yeah, it was the worst.
He's black and he's conservative, so that makes it worse.
Yeah,
for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, you know, and they did Tim Scott, you know, his token legislation using language like that. I always said this. The left, they're the racists. The left, they're the homophobes. They play into these stereotypes. And that's what's really homophobic. That's what's really racist. It's like what Joe Biden said, that unlike the Latino community, which has differences, all black people are the same.
That's what they say.
That's what Joe Biden said.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Who puts people in a box like that? Democrats. They always have. And that is why I want to go round table here, because Catherine on Facebook said, do you think Joe Biden will be live? I do think he will be live.
Yeah.
And that means it is not going to be 5 minutes. Teleprompter, of course.
Yeah,
that's normal. Fine. But what do you guys think? I mean, I think this is – Joe Biden makes or breaks this whole thing.
I think so.
Obama's not going to carry this into the weekend.
I'm going to speak last, or at least I'll let Than and Andy speak first. We'll go to Than because I think it's important as we close this broadcast out. This is the biggest night of the digital convention. The virtual convention is tonight.
Jay, there has never been a presidential election where the two individuals at the top of the ticket, the presidential nominees, have not been the determining factor when they go to the polls. The vice president pick is very important when it comes to policy. It's very important for decision making. But when voters walk into the booth, they decide based on the name at the top of the ticket. So they're going to be deciding between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And as of now, Jay, because of the spread and the amount of eyeballs on the various candidates, Joe Biden is in a lot of trouble. He's got to turn at least two states, and I actually think tonight is very, very big for him. He's not a gifted orator. He's not real good on his feet, but Jay, he has got to turn the tables, I think, starting tonight, and quite frankly, he's got to get out on the campaign trail, too, because if he takes the strategy that Hillary Clinton took, I look at this electoral map, Jay, I predict it will turn out largely the same.
All right, let me go to Andy. You're tonight's the final night. When is, the Republican is... I think Pence should give a speech, the president should give a speech, and go out on the road and do your thing. I mean, it's like, okay. But that's just me. Andy, your sense?
Well, my sense is that Joe Biden is a 56-year veteran of Washington. He's a washed-up old Washington politician. He has nothing really new to offer. He is indeed a Trojan horse, as Jordan has mentioned on this broadcast. He's bringing with him the corrupt left wing of the Democratic Party under wraps and under seal. He's got to make some kind of statement tonight that is revolutionary and is really going to be connecting with the American people. I don't think he has the ability to do it. I don't think he'll do it, whether it be tonight or on the campaign trail. Donald Trump beats him at every point.
Yeah, let me read what Charlotte on Facebook just wrote. This is what I've been trying to echo. She's sick. Charlotte wrote in, I'm so sick of being called homophobic, racist, deplorable, etc. Remember, yeah. it was Hillary Clinton, you know, were the deplorables.
Basket of deplorables.
Basket of deplorables. It was Barack Obama. They cling to their Bible and guns. And now, you know, we're still being called homophobic. And we are just, we're sick of it because it's just not true. It's not true.
So
we accept people for who they are. We might have differences theologically, but that doesn't mean we don't think that they could be the right person for jobs. We're not electing ever in America religious leaders. Thank God we don't do that in politics. That's not how we choose our leaders. We choose the best people for the best jobs for our country. And it shouldn't matter who they have a relationship with or don't have one with. As long as they're good people who can get the job done right.
So Will Haynes, our producer, pointed this out. And they say, being the Democrats that and the left, that we're the ones causing division.
And not Antifa, Not the riots in the streets.
So let me give you my takeaway, and then you can take it from there. I think the table's set now, or will be set tonight. There are two visions. We'll never tell you who to vote for. That's not our job. We'll tell you to vote. I'm going to tell you to engage your views. I think that's important. But we live in a very, very interesting and compelling time. I said this to you, Jordan, and you brought it up. I think Logan actually brought it up, and I've repeated Logan's statement on this. It's true. Your generation has lived through 9/11. Then in 2008, 2009, the worst economic downturn we've had since the Great Depression. You had Iraq and Afghanistan. You had two ongoing wars, which your contemporaries were fighting and dying in, fans as well. And then you have now a worldwide pandemic. The table has been set. So here's really the question. It's not a question of who has got the best civility and who is going to be the most kind and who's going to be the most finessed and the most nuanced. The decision is going to come down to who is going to get the job done and what is the job. And the job right now for the president is the economy, which he has rebuilt once, he can rebuild again, and the pandemic. And what's the job for Joe Biden if he was president? To rebuild the economy and deal with the pandemic. The decision that you have to make, as we are now, 77 days away from the election or thereabouts, which is hard to believe, we're going to be within 2 months here real soon, is which one of these candidates presents your vision. But let me tell you what I'm sick of too. They talk about Republicans doing the name calling, and then you rattle off the list of xenophobic, homophobic, this and that. They're the name callers. That's real name calling, and it's just not fair. And it's not fair it's not fair as a matter of policy, and it's not right factually. You have people on both sides of these issues that could say things that you disagree with. That's part of living in a free country. But that's why that's why Jordan, and I know Logan and Will and everybody wanted to play the thing from Rick Grinnell, who we helped get confirmed. And Than would tell you that. Rick Grinnell would tell you that. Correct, Than?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, Jay, I think his performance on the job, especially as the director of DNI, I think it validated that pick time and time again. Jay, there's a document here somewhere in my stack of the entire list of Obama officials who requested the unmasking of General Flynn. Why do we have that? We have that because of Director Grinnell.
You know, not only did we help Rick Grinnell get confirmed, and he would, of course, admit that easily, no problem. We helped one of Hillary Clinton's friends, who was a nominee to become an ambassador for international religious freedom, who was being
under Barack Obama.
Under Obama, while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. And she was evangelical and having issues with Democrats and Republicans. So we had to come through to help her get confirmed.
But she's a good person, and it was smart.
And really evangelical.
And really helped us
persecution issues. Those Iranian issues.
Ambassador Cook, yes.
Was the lead, Ambassador Cook. And so, you know, again, who comes to the aid of those who get trying to be taken out of positions because they're too religious, they're too evangelical, whether they're gay or African-American or Democrat or Republican? ACLJ. That's what we do. We do that work too, because we want the right people in the right positions, regardless of which party's in charge. If we can help, I mean, that's what you want us doing, right?
Yeah. That her confirmation.
Right.
When she was confirmed.
So, folks, I want you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in every one of these battles for President Trump. We're in every one of these battles they talk about. And we're in the larger battle, too. It's a matching challenge month. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.